Very pleased to be joined by our next guest. He is the coach of the Everett Silvertips. It is Dennis Williams. Dennis, how are you today?
Really good. How are things?
Things are pretty good. It's a little rainy and dreary in Calgary, but staying inside isn't the worst thing right now. So no complaints here. What's the light? Obviously, you guys would be in the offseason by now anyway, but what's the day-to-day life of a WHL coach like in pandemic times?
Well, partly you're a second and fifth grade teacher, you know, for your daughters right now. And, you know, you're also trying to keep the guys in tune, you know, and we've had a few Zoom calls with them and send out some different articles and sound bites and so forth. But right now, just checking in, you know, first and foremost, making sure our guys and their family are healthy and doing well. So that's kind of been our biggest concern right now, is making sure the safety and the healthiness of our players are good.
We'll get into a bit of the Dustin Wolf conversation, because I'm interested to hear your perspective of him in a second. But just as far as what you're sending the guys, is there a lot of video study that goes on? Like, well, what specifically can some of the guys be doing right now?
Well, I think a lot of them have their own trainers, and some of the hard parts for us right now is our players are from all over the U.S. and Canada, all through all four provinces for the WHL. So everyone's at a little different pace, I guess, in terms of at-home workouts. Some are able to go to the gym. Some rinks are open. I know down here in the Everett area, you know, the arenas are not open yet. So we have some local kids on our team too that, you know, they can't skate right now and so forth. But really, for the most part, is we've just been sending out, again, like some articles, some motivational stuff right now to get through kind of these hard times. And I think sometimes we forget that it is the summertime, you know, and these guys need to be away from the rink and have a physically recharge and get a mental recharge and play golf and go fishing and hang with their buddies as well. So we try to balance that as much we can right now.
As far as the season goes, obviously a very unsatisfying conclusion for pretty well everyone, as we end without a WHL champion, without a Memorial Cup champion. I guess, how is the feeling after a season that never really got to be completed? You guys on another tremendous roll, especially a roll to end the year, winning 9 of your last 10, heading into the most important part of the season.
Yeah, like, you know, like anything, like all sports, you know, hockey, and you hear about from all the teams, and all football, basketball, softball, whatever it may be, you know, the first initial blow was disappointing. I remember, you know, telling my wife, you know, this would have been our last game of the year against Victoria. This would have been the first game of the playoffs against either Spokane or Seattle, you know, kind of like going through those in your mind. And if we were to win this, we'd be starting this series. So you kind of just really, you know, sat there and played in your mind, and then eventually kind of bypassed. And then again, the bigger picture here is just, again, as much as, you know, disheartening and unsatisfying the finish was for not only us, but all teams and all sports, was making sure that our guys stayed safe, you know, and their families, and their health and well-being is the number one priority. And, you know, there's always going to be another year, you know, to chase down a good season. And it was unfortunate this year. I was happy with where we were at. I was really proud of our group. But everything happens for a reason. So, you know, this is the time now for our guys to continue to get bigger, stronger, and faster in the off season, and come back a lot more hungrier.
Well, while the main team awards couldn't be handed out, we still had enough of a sample to hand out individual awards. And as far as goalies are concerned, Dustin Wolf won all of them, as basically any organization he ever played for named him goalie of the year. An incredible season. When you look at the numbers, it's really, I mean, my goalies aren't even that good in video games, so I can't say video game-like. What did you see from the Flames' seventh-round pick this year?
Yeah, you know, he really just took another big step. You know, he had an unbelievable first year, even better second year, and then this year, you know, he came in even more determined, you know, than what, if that's even possible. You know, and I said to our staff, he obviously was the CHL goalie of the year, the USA goalie of the year as well. I said, we should just name a North American League goalie of the year and just give it to him so that, you know, it gets both awards, you know. But, you know, Dustin is a very determined player. You know, he's a great teammate, but he has like an edge and a sense of confidence and determination to really succeed in this game. You know, and he's not going to let anybody knock him off that path. And he's a great leader to our guys, not just our goalie, our backup goalie, Braden Holt with him, but really – at the end of the day, like, a lot of guys can learn from his dedication, his preparation, his mental focus, his drive, and he's a big contributor to our group. Obviously, we wouldn't be where we have been without Dustin, and it doesn't surprise me, you know, though, as well as how well he's been, because I think coming out of the draft, you know, I think that gave me more motivation to be able to be drafted by Calgary to continue to prove people right, and that, you know, that was a great pick, and to prove those wrong that had him maybe slighted at a lower level. So he's very determined.
You mentioned leadership in there, and that's not necessarily a quality that we always associate with goalies. I don't think. I think we think of them as like they're kind of in their own world. They're the weird guys who wear the pads who get puck shot at them a lot. But as far as a locker room presence, has he kind of graduated to not just among his goalie circle, but guys in the room will listen when he talks?
Yeah, for sure he has, and I think that's one of the, you know, things. He's not a vocal guy in there. You know, in between periods, like he kind of gets reset, refocused, and, you know, he's a, like Dustin, I learned, you know, from, you know, prior to is on game days, like that's his day. I don't even bother him. You know, he doesn't need to come sit on the meetings. You know, he does his focus. He watches his PK shot attempts against, you know, with our assistant Louis and just focus on what he needs to do to stop the puck. You know, there, all the other stuff is kind of just noise, you know? So he kind of goes about his stuff, but when he does talk, you know, he means what he says. And I think what happens is the players see the passion and the care behind it as well. So it doesn't, he's not a yeller or screamer, you know, out of it, but there's some times, you know, he gets frustrated. I think a lot of times when he does, he's frustrated at himself, which I think sometimes he's a little hard on himself. You know, if you ask Dustin, he believes he should stop every puck. And that's a great quality to have, you know, in a goalie. But he's absolutely, I just think his work ethic and determination, like so many of our first-year players and second-year players, can continue to learn from how he approaches each day, whether it's the workouts, whether it's his schoolwork. He was a CHL Academic Player of the Year 2 years ago. So everything he does is driven to be the best.
You mentioned he feels like he should stop every puck. I mean, 9:35, he's close. And when he's in that area the last couple of seasons, 9.36 save percentage the year before, the 9.35 this last season, it would certainly look from a ways out. Like he's got this WHL thing down, and he's still with you guys for another year. I don't want to say how do you keep him from getting complacent, because you hear a lot about the work ethic, and I don't think that's necessarily a concern. But how do you keep a player growing, and how do you keep that development going when it does appear like that he's kind of, to steal a video game term, that he's kind of past this level?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because, you know, there is that light at the end of the tunnel where, you know, at this level, a lot of guys will start thinking, I can't wait to get to the next level, whether it's the NHL or American League first, you know, and getting those opportunities, right? But I think a guy like Dustin is there's one thing what we still here don't have is a WHL championship and a Memorial Cup. And I think that's his determination still, you know, and to continue to want to be the best goalie, not only in the Western League, but in the Canadian Hockey League. And I think whatever league he gets into, he wants to leave that footprint, you know, and if you get to know him, that's exactly how he's wired. And it's a great quality. He's not satisfied, you know, and I think that's what is really going to, for this coming year, there's parts of his game, if you talk to him, believe it or not, that like anything, he's got to continue to get better at. I don't know how much, you know, that's our goalie coach to talk. I can tell you, I watch him in practice and to see him compete this year, like with those type of numbers and the type of goalie he is, if you're to watch him practice, he plays twice as hard in practice. Like he wants the best shooters on him. He wants those backdoor one time that, you know what, the goalie maybe gets 1 out of 10, but he wants to get 2 out of 10, you know, off it. So it's phenomenal. And I'm not concerned about a player like him, you know, as he may say, check out for a year, you know, and just kind of put in their time. I think, again, he wants to come back and be even better than what he's been the last 2 years.
You mentioned before that he took a step, and when you look at the numbers, it's pretty remarkable to consider that there would be improvement from 1 year to the next after a great season that he had a couple years ago. Was there anything specific in his game that you noticed really did take a step to a next level?
Well, I think really his positioning, and again, not being a goalie expert, like his rebound control was not that it's ever been poor. It was pretty on this year. You know, there wasn't a lot of second, third chances, you know, and he's his athleticism, as he continued to get stronger, he continues to get faster out there, and he plays the puck very well. He continues to work on that. He can outlet pucks. He can move pucks up on poor line changes, you know, and I don't mean it better than a lot of players. Like, he can wrist pucks up there like faster than anybody, and he's a good skater. So those qualities and the strengths he continues to work on, and I thought they continued to improve throughout this whole season as well.
The knock on him and the reason that was given for him falling to the Flames at 214th overall is, by NHL goalie standards, he's not the biggest dude. As far as human beings go, like 6'1", 165, not a small guy, but as far as professional athletes and NHL goalies, in a position that's trending bigger, he's not the biggest. What's your reaction when you hear comments about his size?
Well, I you know, there's probably the same talk when he came from, you know, Bantam Midget Hockey to the Western Hockey League. I'm sure there's the same. I couldn't tell you what round we took him. And I know it was a little bit later in the Western League too, right? And he came in the same year I came in to coach. And I didn't know much about Dustin, but same thing. Like, I probably looked at him, if I think back, and go, oh, he's just a little guy out there, you know? But I can tell you, I would not bet against this player playing in the National Hockey League. I just wouldn't. Knowing who he is, how he is, how his work ethic, how he's mentally built to withstand, because he's absolutely taking this. Everyone says he's too small. He's not going to play there. He's not going to get drafted. He is going to get drafted. Like, there's a lot of push and pull there during that time. But again, I'll tell you, I thought Calgary knocked it out when they took him. And especially being able to get him in that seventh round late there like that, because like right now, I personally haven't seen a goalie, and I know he's our guy, and again, we're always the hardest on our own guys, but I haven't seen a goalie that plays like he has, you know, in a few years in this league.
Just doing some research while you're answering. He went in the fifth round, 104th overall in the WHL draft. Yeah. I'm no draft expert. I'm going to say you're pretty happy with the value you get at 104th overall, getting the goalie of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary Davidson and GM and staff did a great job there, right? Like, that's a home run, you know, through it. And you know, it's funny. And again, goaltenders are a little bit late bloomers too. Sometimes, you know, they're not always picked high, right? Off that, and even their path to the National Hockey League, it's a little bit different than a player, you know, coming up. So, I do think he's going to be able to get to that next level, make those adjustments, because if you go to the American League, they're bigger, stronger, faster. Guys shoot pucks harder. Guys get pucks off their sticks faster, bigger bodies, net front, that he's going to have to work up and around screens and that. But, you know, he's going to work. He's going to find a way. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to find in Calgary a very good goaltender.
Well, and finding good goaltenders is not something that you guys are unfamiliar with, as we chat with Dennis Williams, coach of the Everett Silvertips. Before Dustin Wolf, that Carter Hart guy was pretty good. In your first season there, a 947 save percentage. Is there something in the water that's growing good goalies out there? Or how are you guys just rattling off star goalie after star goalie?
Yeah, you know, again, I think a lot of credit, you know, goes to, like I said, our general manager, Gary Davidson, and his staff, you know, of finding them and then recruiting them and bringing them in, because they all have options, you know. It's not just the WHL. You got, you know, college hockey in that path as well, right? So out of it. And then I think a lot goes to the goalie coaches too. You know, Shane Clifford was with Carter when he was here my first year. And then James Jensen has came in and worked the last 2 years with Dustin and our goaltenders here. And I thought both did a fantastic job of relating to them and teaching them and coaching them, you know, through there. And but it has been something, you know. We've been really fortunate and to have those type of goaltenders and world-class goalies, you know. And I always say we as coaches learn probably as much from those type of players as they do from us, you know, because there are far and few to come through those type of both Dustin and Carter. And I know coaching those guys, it's been a complete joy.
We'll want to get into your resume a little bit because you're pretty well traveled now, been doing the coaching thing for a little bit. When I think of hockey hotbeds, Amarillo doesn't necessarily pop into mind right away. What's being a hockey coach in Amarillo like?
Well, you know what? I thought the same when I went there. I was coaching college hockey prior as an interim head coach, and I drove to Amarillo. But ironically, when I was in Amarillo, the owner of Everett owned Amarillo as well. So I started that Amarillo program as the head coach GM, and then he bought Bloomington in the USHL, and I went there in the USHL and coached his team there. And then so I spent 4 years in Amarillo, 3 in Bloomington, under the same owner here in Everett, now 3 years here. So wow. I kind of navigate that way. But let me tell you, Amarillo was a neat place. And I'll tell you, it was great hockey, great fans, loyal fans, you know, like it was different the first year for me, you know, going down there. I was thinking to myself, I'm going to go all the way to Amarillo, Texas to coach. Like I'm from Ontario, you know, but I wouldn't trade those experiences. We made a lot of great friends there. My youngest daughter was born there. And, to this day, we still talk to a lot of people. So it is growing. You know, they're doing a great job developing players for college hockey out of the North American League. So it's definitely different, though.
I think as fans, we see the journey that coaches go on, and you see the Amarillos and the Bloomingtons, and then the progression of WHL, maybe American Hockey League, or straight to the National Hockey League. Obviously, there isn't just one path to it, but for a lot of fans, a coach just kind of appears in the NHL, and that's that. But there is a long road to get to that point. As far as growth and development as a coach is concerned, where has that come for you? What do you find you've kind of grown as a coach in the most?
Well, I think like each place you went, like the probably the best advice I got was I was the interim head coach of Bowling Green State University Division I school, and that's where I went to school, my alma mater. I was the interim coach. I didn't get it. And like anybody, I never have not gotten a job. So that was my first blow. I was 29, 30 years old. And my best advice from a guy named Dan Cole, who's coach of Michigan State, said, you're never a coach you've been fired. You're never a player you've been traded, is what he told me, you know, as a former coach and player. And I was kind of like, what am I going to do? And I took this job in the North American League. And each place I've been, you know, presented its little challenges that you learn. And at the time you go through them, it felt like the end of the world was coming in certain things. And then you look back at it and say, man, I'm glad I went through those. And the part of my path personally is I would say, like, it's like you said, it's not straight. I've kind of gone all over. So what I've been able to do is learn and appreciate where I am now, you know, when I get there. And obviously, like anybody, my goal is to get to the next level. At what point or what time, I'm not sure, you know, like, but I know there's still some things here I want to accomplish, you know, in terms of really, you know, trying to win a championship here for the fans in the city of Everett and the county and so forth. But again, I'm pretty fortunate that for the last 10 years, I've worked for our owner, Bill Ewell in CSH. And, you know, I can't be thankful enough, but if you don't jump at some of these, like they always tell you, if you don't take jumps and risks, and even when I came to Everett, you know, I've been in the USHL North American League, which is pro college hockey, U.S. college hockey. I played U.S. college hockey. So, you know, when I came over here, all my buddies said, you're going to the dark side. You're going to the Canadian Hockey League, you know, but it's been a fantastic experience, and it hasn't been easy here either. We started 4-9-1 with Carter Hart. He was injured, and Dustin was injured our first year when I was here, and taken over for Kevin Constantine and what he'd done here for a number of years. Like, there was a lot of pressure. And when you start 4-9-1, you don't have a lot of people in your corner. So, you know, we've kind of grown through those pains.
Well, we appreciate you coming on today, and best of luck as things continue. And thanks for shining some light on some of the stuff that Dustin Wolf has accomplished, because it's a player that a lot of people out here are very excited about.
Yeah, and well, you guys should be. And I appreciate the time. And again, stay safe.
Thank you. You as well.